Our scripture is 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Our message today is going to be brought from members of the Barnabas class. Mainly Rusty, Paul, and Forrest are going to share a message, and I'll let them come forward as they need to.
Good morning. Good morning. So I'm going to start things off. We wanted to share a little bit about some of the things we had done through the year. One of the things I'm going to speak on is men's breakfast that we had, a special men's breakfast we did back, I think it was in February of last year, where we invited law enforcement officers and the rescue squad members to come and join us for breakfast. It was a good time of fellowship. We had a very good outreach. We had members of the wildlife officers were there, members of the highway patrol, members of the sheriff's department. We had members of the rescue squad there. It was a good time of fellowship. We got to pay back a little bit to them, give them thanks for all that they do for our community and all the service they provide to us. And we hope to do something like this again this year. I think it was very well received. They were very happy to come and talk to us and share with us a little bit of their day. And it meant a lot to, I think, everybody that was attended. Forrest is going to come talk to us a little bit about a new mission that we've kind of started. And I think that will be a blessing to us in the years to come.
All right, good morning. The fall of 2016, I was approached by a friend of mine. He was telling me about a project he was working on in Durham. The name of the project is CASA, and CASA provides housing for the homeless. They build apartment homes for the homeless. And one of the apartment complexes that they built is actually specifically for veterans. And at the time, it was something that I was wanting to try to help with, but as we all know, we get things happen and we don't get to do as much as we hope. But in the fall, October of 2017, Rusty brought up in our Sunday school class that we were looking for maybe a project to help in the community. And going along with the pastor's vision for last year of 1 mile, 10 mile, 100 miles, and 1,000 miles, we decided that we were going to cook dinner for some of the members of the CASA home there in Durham, and specifically for the veterans complex there. So on December the 14th of last year, we went over and cooked for a lot of the veterans there. There was about 12 or 15 of the homeless veterans showed up. We were able to cook a good dinner for them. But the complex there houses about 23 homeless veterans. So only about 12 or 15 came down to the dinner, but we also provided to-go plates for some of the ones who weren't able to come, for maybe they've got a disability that doesn't allow them to come down. Some of them just don't feel comfortable coming down to the large groups. But we did provide for all of them. Also, while I was there, in a partnership that we have with Orange County Outdoors Mission to provide venison for needy people, I asked if any of the veterans there were interested in having venison that they would like to eat. And there was about seven of them that spoke up and said they'd love to have some venison to eat. So I went back on December the 22nd, took venison back to the CASA. Seven of them got their venison, and we provided them with about 10 pounds of venison total per each person. We gave them some back straps, we gave them roasts, we gave them hamburger, and it was all venison, and they all loved it. Marty, could you put up the pictures there that we took? We've got a few pictures here from the December the 14th. And as you can see, well, it's not a very big picture, but You can see that there's four or five of the members there sitting at the one table. We've got three or four tables spread all around, and some of the residents there were able to come and eat. One guy specifically, Paul, he's back there in the back.
Where in Durham is this?
Oh, yes,
right. Drive by it every day.
Sure. Yeah, it's right off Guest Road. But Paul, he said, you know, feels like people forget us. So, if you could share the next picture there. Yeah, okay. So this is just a couple of the other residents that you see there. As I said, we provide them some chicken and potatoes, baked beans, and some desserts and rolls. And if you can go right on to the last one there, this is kind of the setup we had for them. And like I said, they were all just real, real grateful. Okay. And the last one there, Marty. Yeah, go back to that one real quick. So this is, as I said, we got the partnership with Orange County Outdoors Ministry. If some of you remember back last March, Rob Gray from the Orange County Outdoors Ministry came and spoke with us about being able to donate venison for needy families. All right, and the last one, Marty. So on February 8th, we're actually going back. We're going to cook again, and we're hoping to make this a regular event. Possibly, I'm hoping maybe quarterly is something we're hoping to try and do. So if anybody would like to come, you know, you're welcome to do it. We usually meet about 5 o'clock on the day. We meet at the Orange High School and go over and cook about 6, feed them about 6 o'clock. So if anybody's interested, you're welcome to come with us. I think it's a very good ministry for our church.
I don't have any PowerPoint presentation to give you. I'm going to do a whole lot of talking. Maybe it won't be too much rambling. And I'll start with a little story that brings me to mind. And we'll tie the sermon in with this momentarily. It says, a young preacher was preaching in a real small country church, kind of similar to Mars Hill. It was a snowy, cold morning, which we could relate to that as what we've had in the past. And only one farmer showed up. Well, they sat around for a little while, and they kind of discussed the weather, and they discussed everything else. And then finally, the young preacher looked at the farmer and says, what must I do? Well, the farmer thought for a minute, and he says, well, if one cow shows up in my herd, I feed it. The preacher says, good analogy. He walks up to the pulpit. He goes to 1 Peter. I think that's where we're at today, by the way. And he goes strong for about 2.5 hours. Real strong. Kind of takes a deep breath, walks off the pulpit, goes to his one parishioner and says, what do you think? Farmer thought for a minute. He says, I really don't want to offend him, so what must I say? He says, well, if one cow shows up and I feed it, but I don't feed it everything I have stored in the barn at one sitting. I guarantee you I'm not going to feed you everything I've got stored up in the barn in one sitting. As an ag teacher, I'm normally used to talking to young folks for 90 minutes at a time, and if they've ever been in one of my classes, I go very rapidly. My wife told me, she said, look, you need to slow down. They're not high school kids. They're not going to go to sleep. You're not going to throw a eraser at them. You can't reach over there and grab them by the ear if they go to sleep. So hopefully I'm going to halfway keep you entertained enough to where you don't go to sleep on me and you have something to take away from this. With that being said, I'm going to start into the message. And it deals with ordinary and extraordinary. I have on my board a lot of times the word ordinary. And when I'm trying to get a little more out of people, I'll ask them, you know, ordinary, we're all ordinary. We've all heard that word before. Most people are happy not to be ordinary. They want to be known for something extraordinary. And I'll say, you know, the only difference in between those two words is a little extra. And all my life I've wondered what that little extra was. If it was when you were playing ball, was it extra time you spent at practice? Was it extra work you put in? Was it extra dedication, motivation? Maybe it was a little bit of extra everything that made you extraordinary instead of just ordinary. Maybe we should strive to do a little more on our own to be extra. And what I get by that is our extra should be a little more extra time we spend with God. Did you ever notice that the more time you spend in your Bible or in devotion or in meditation, even when you're having that bad day and things are really going south and you can't quite figure out the answer, the day seems to get a whole lot better. Maybe your problem might not go away, but the day gets better. I also have on my board a number, and it's 86,400. And every day I'll ask some students at the beginning of the year, what's 86,400 got to do with everybody at this school, everybody in the world? And they all, I don't, ain't long, they get the phone out and they start Googling to find out, you know, an answer. And that's how many seconds is in the day. Now, some of those seconds we have to spend at work. Some of them we have to spend asleep. Some of them we might spend, you know, eating. I do my fair share of that. And with that being said, are we giving as much to God out of those 86,400 seconds that we possibly could, or are we neglecting him? And that's kind of one of those things you have to make yourself, whether or not you're making that decision. Mother Teresa once said, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love." God loved and used ordinary folks to do extraordinary things through him, whether it was with the Baptist men or whether it was people we're going to talk about today and throughout the Bible. And he still does that today. He was the world's greatest coach. A lot of times by dealing with teenagers, you have to kind of coach them through things. And I normally a lot of times some of the coaches, they call people no matter what subject they matter, it's always coach. I often wonder, are we coachable Christians? Are we coachable disciples? Are we doing what is being asked of us to be done? Or do we have selective hearing? My wife, my children, the students at school, even my boss says you might have a little dose to that, Wagner. Sometimes you got a little selective hearing. I say one thing and you heard something completely different. You might have some of that too at your house. I don't know. We hear what we want to hear and hope it fits in our one-sided plan that we have. And then I got to thinking, our Creator sometimes, he doesn't want a one-sided conversation with us. Neither does he want no conversation from us. If we learn to listen and not just hear, we can do some amazing things. Today, in honor of Baptist Men's Sunday, I'm going to spend some time talking about some ordinary men in the Bible that God used to do extraordinary tasks for the kingdom of God. I'm not saying he didn't use extraordinary women, for half the population that I'm looking at out here gets up and leaves because, you know, and we end up only with about the same people that was behind me in the choir and a few others, you know, such as Ruth and Mary Magdalene. There was great women, but today, being this Baptist Men's Day, we're only going to talk about the men for a little while. When it's Women's Day, y'all can talk about what you want to talk about. And he chose these ordinary men. And I kind of started at the beginning of the Bible thinking about what ordinary men did he encounter. And some of them I got a little bit out of sync, so don't fault me on that, because a thought popped in my head about midnight and I'm scribing one down. And at 2 a.m. I might have wrote another one down. We'll start with Noah. You know, Noah, he might have been a great engineer at building a boat, but he was also a drunk. Abraham, you know, he might have started a great kingdom, but he was also very old when he started the great kingdom. Isaac, who was a daydreamer. Joseph, who was Jesus' dad, was nothing more than a regular carpenter, a regular Joe. The other Joseph, who was abused by his brothers, Jacob, who was a liar, Moses, who was a stutterer, Zacchaeus, who couldn't talk, that would be a tough one for me, Gideon, who was afraid, Samson, who was a womanizer, Jeremiah and Timothy, who were just too young, most people thought, David, who was an adulterer and also a murderer, Elijah, who was suicidal, Isaiah, who preached naked, don't get no ideas over there, Jonah, who ran from God, Job, who went bankrupt for God, John the Baptist, who ate bugs. I think I'd do a lot of things, but I don't know. That eating locusts might have been a pretty tough, you know, I could be a wilderness man for a little while, but that'd be a tough one. Peter, who denied Christ, Paul, who was the Christian killer, Zacchaeus, who was just too small to see anybody, the little boy with two fish and five loaves who had no name, who gave everything he had, Lazarus, who was dead, and last but not least, 12 ordinary men who were four fishermen, one tax collector, one zealot political radical, and the rest were probably a group of tradesmen and farmers that lived around the town of Galilee. The only one that didn't fit in that description was Judas. He didn't live around that particular area. The rest of them fell in that same area. They all had no particular intellectual talent. Hey, I could fit that description. They were not highly educated. I could probably fall in that one as well. There wasn't a theologian in the bunch. In that same category. They, like us, were prone to bad judgment. They made bad decisions. They had lapses of faith. They made multiple mistakes. And they didn't volunteer for the job they were at. The good Lord called them. So just as he calls those people, he calls me and you. He knew their weakness. He knows your weakness. He knows their strengths. He even knew one would betray him and called him anyway. These men and their associates wrote the whole New Testament. They started the foundation of the church. And before this, the most notable thing that any of them had ever done as a group collectively was they were known for just being ordinary. The final thought I've got is God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. God used ordinary men to do his work then and now. My question I have for you, are you available and listening and using the talents that God has given you? I hope the answer to that question is yes. If you think you can do a little more, our men's group will meet. Paul, what's the date on that? When are we having our next men's breakfast? We set that up the other day. February the 18th, and come and join us. If you're not doing all you can do, the church could surely use you, whether it's in voice or whether it's in other talents that you have that we hadn't seen yet. But if he called those people to do great things and he used them, if he could use that list of men that we just went through, he surely can use you. Thank you, and I'll now call the preacher to finish our portion of the sermon.